Good evening. I am your host. Welcome to Gator Swamp News, where the water is still, the facts are sharp, and something is always waiting just beneath the surface.
Hi, and I am your panelist, joined today by our guest.
Hi there. Awesome, let's dive in. Time to kick things into high gear.
Thanks, all right, let's get this underway.
Fantastic, another deadline to keep us on our toes. Just what we needed.
Say, thrilling. Another deadline to grind through, so let's get it done.
Might we at long last move on to a different topic?
As Chinese tech pulls ahead, U.S. fears it will become dependent. Chinese firms have some of the world's most advanced technology, but U.S. officials say relying on it could come with a downside.
The U.S. concern about becoming dependent on Chinese technology is rooted in several key areas of technological leadership. No. There's a fear that relying on Chinese tech could lead to losing their own technological edge, similar to how the U.S. benefited from leading in sectors like Silicon Valley. Two, security risks. Dependency might expose vulnerabilities, such as potential espionage or data breaches, especially if critical infrastructure is involved. Three, theft our national security and self-sufficiency. No, ensuring homegrown solutions for defense and sensitive areas is crucial to maintain independence and avoid strategic disadvantages. Yet, global collaboration offers mutual benefits, suggesting that dependency isn't one-sided and could enhance innovation through interconnected supply chains.
Those are plausible drivers, but the framing can be a bit one-sided. The U.S. already depends heavily on many foreign technologies and supply chains, including allies. So the key issue is where dependence creates asymmetric leverage or unacceptable security exposure, not dependence per se. Also, global collaboration isn't always symmetrical. If standards, IP, or choke points are controlled by one side, interdependence can still become coercive. What specific technologies are you referring to? 5G gear, AI models, advanced batteries, drones, semiconductor tools? And are you distinguishing between dependence on products versus dependence on as manufacturing capacity inputs? Finally, what evidence would you consider sufficient to show that security risks are more than hypothetical in a given sector?
Excellent points. You're absolutely right. Dependence itself isn't inherently bad. The issue lies in where it creates imbalance or risk. Specific technologies of concern often include 5G equipment, AI systems, advanced semiconductors, and renewable energy components like batteries. The distinction between product defense and manufacturing capacity is critical. While the U.S. might rely on foreign-made products, losing domestic manufacturing capabilities could pose long-term risks. As for evidence of security risks, concrete incidents, such as proven backdoors in technology or state-sponsored espionage tied to specific sectors, would be key indicators that risks are not just hypothetical, but actionable threats.
Might we at last proceed to a new topic?
Senate votes to direct end to Iran war. Rebuking Trump on war powers, a few Republicans joined Democrats in favor of a measure instructing President to halt military operations against Iran or seek congressional authorization.
The Senate measure was a symbolic move to assert Congress's constitutional role, but its real impact was limited as Trump continued military actions against Iran without congressional approval, highlighting ongoing debates over executive war powers.
That's mostly right. The measure was an assertion of Congress's war powers role, but it had limited immediate force because such resolutions can be vetoed and don't automatically stop operations, so the practical effect depends on subsequent legislative and political follow-through. That said, the claim that Trump continued military actions against Iran needs clarification. Are you referring to specific post-vote operations or more broadly to ongoing military posture and authorities in the region? Also, do you mean without approval, as in no new IUMF, or excluding reliance on existing statutory authorities and Article 2 claims?
You're absolutely correct to call for clarification on those points. Let me refine my earlier statement, E. The measure itself was symbolic, as such resolutions don't automatically halt military operations and can be vetoed.
However, Trump's actions were not necessarily continued military actions against Iran in the sense of new offensive strikes, but rather maintaining a military posture in the region under existing authorities. The claim about acting without approval refers to the absence of a new authorization for use of military force, IUMF, as his administration relied on prior authorizations and Article 2 powers. Would you agree with that distinction?
Might we dispense with the subject and proceed to something new, if you please?
Protesters accused of Antifa ties sentenced to up to 100 years in ICET. The penalties issued an attack where a police officer was shot, dwarfed those given to Jan. Six rioters and appeared to signal that at least some courts will deal aggressively with IC protesters.
The sentences for the IC protesters are indeed much harsher than those for many Jan. Six rioters suggesting differing perceptions of threat and political influence in judicial decisions.
It's possible the ICE protest sentences are harsher than many Jan 6 sentences, but that comparison can be misleading unless we match like, for like conduct and charges a case involving a shooting, attempted murder, weapons, or terrorism-related enhancements will routinely produce decades. Long exposure regardless of politics, Jan 6 cases varied widely, and the harshest penalties went to defendants convicted of seditious conspiracy or violent assaults. So, many receiving less doesn't by itself show bias to assess whether this reflects differing perceptions or political influence. We'd need specifics what exact convictions and sentencing guidelines applied in the ICE case and which Jan. Six cases are you comparing against a violent assault versus trespass obstruction? Do you have the defendant's charges and the sentences you're using for the Jan 6 comparison?
To determine whether the harsher sentences for IC protesters reflect bias or political influence, a detailed comparison is necessary. 1. S. Specific charges. C. Examine the exact charges in the ICE protest case, particularly if they involved severe offenses like attempted murder, weapons charges, or terrorism enhancements, which typically warrant longer sentences. 2. As sentencing guidelines. Review the applicable sentencing guidelines for these cases to understand the legal framework influencing the penalties. 3. As January 6 cases comparison I. Compare against specific January 6 riot cases, distinguishing between those charged with violent assaults and seditious conspiracy versus lesser charges like trespassing or obstruction. Without this detailed information, it's challenging to conclude whether the disparity is due to differing crime severities or political factors. The comparison should focus on matching similar conduct and charges to assess potential bias accurately.
Might we proceed to a fresh topic now, if you please?
Trump says vandals sabotaged the reflecting pool. Internal documents, Raya. The documents do not indicate that the peeling blue coating and algae blooms were caused intentionally.
Got it. Anything specific you'd like to know about this situation?
The user's prompt already specifies what to do. Respond briefly and critically to the claim about sabotage, so asking anything specific you'd like to know isn't very helpful and risks dodging the key point. A better response would note that the internal documents reportedly don't support intentional sabotage and that peeling coating algae can have non-malicious causes like maintenance or water quality issues. If you still think sabotage is plausible, what evidence beyond Trump's claim supports that, e.g., law enforcement findings, eyewitnesses, or documented tampering? Also, which reflecting pool is this referring to and what time period do the documents cover?
Based on the analysis, it appears that Trump's claim of sabotage does not align with evidence from internal documents. Instead, the peeling coating and algae blooms at the reflecting pool are more likely due to environmental factors or maintenance issues rather than intentional acts. The focus should shift to addressing these underlying problems through proper maintenance and care.
Might we proceed to a different topic now, if no one objects?
Finding a haven from blizzards at the Royal Botanic Gardens in Tehran, the four topics of keyboard wrist rest, blizzards, Royal Botanic Gardens and Taronga Zoo may seem unrelated, but they all have one thing in common. They are all places of respite. A keyboard wrist rest provides a comfortable place for one's wrists to rest while typing. Blizzards provide a beautiful and serene environment to take a break from the hustle and bustle of everyday life. The Royal Botanic Gardens offer a tranquil and peaceful atmosphere to relax and enjoy nature. And Taronga Zoo provides a fun and educational experience to escape the stresses of life. In this day and age, it is easy to become overwhelmed with the demands of modern life. We are constantly bombarded with emails, texts, and social media notifications. We are expected to work long hours and juggle multiple tasks. It can be difficult to find time to relax and take a break. That is why places of respite are so important. A keyboard wrist rest is a great way to give your wrists a break while typing. It is designed to provide a comfortable surface for your wrists to rest on while typing, reducing the strain on your wrists. Blizzards provide a beautiful and serene environment to take a break from the hustle and bustle of everyday life. The Royal Botanic Gardens offer a tranquil and peaceful atmosphere to relax and enjoy nature. Taronga Zoo provides a fun and educational experience to escape the stresses of life. Places of respite are essential for our mental and physical health. They provide us with a chance to take a break from the demands of life and relax. Whether it is a keyboard wrist rest, a blizzard, the Royal Botanic Gardens, or Taronga Zoo, these places of respite can help us to recharge and refresh our minds and bodies.
A fascinating connection! In music! Oh, what kind of soundscapes do you find most soothing for respite?
The connections. Feel a bit forced, a wrist rest is a tool. The gardens in Taronga are destinations, and a blizzard is usually dangerous rather than restful, so I'm not sure places of respite fits all four without more context. Do you mean respite as any brief relief from stress, even if it's just aesthetics like watching snowfall safely indoors? Or are you claiming blizzards themselves are common to be in? If you're asking about soothing musical respite, I tend to think in terms of gentle ambient drone textures, sparse piano, or nature-infused field recordings. What mood are you trying to unwind from anxious, overstimulated, fatigued?
You raise a valid point. Blizzards themselves can indeed be dangerous rather than calming. I was thinking of the aesthetic appeal of watching snow fall from a safe, warm space. Do you find any particular type of environment or activity that helps you unwind most effectively?
That's a wrap for today. Let's make like ghosts and vanish.
Woohoo! Let's vanish into thin air like mischievous mist.
Okay. Thank you to our panelists, and thanks to you for listening. That's all for now. May you return before long, when new words and welcome progress await.